Scripture reading for this evening comes from the Old Testament, the fourth book of Moses, called Numbers, Numbers 27. And we'd like to read the first 11 verses. Numbers 27, from verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Zephar, the son of Gilead, the son of Melchir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mala, Noah, Nogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar, the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he had no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if he has If his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman, that is next to him of his family. And he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statue of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. This further scripture reader.
Congregation, the text for this evening hour is from Numbers 27. Verse 4, Numbers 27, verse 4, where we read the word of God in our text. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he has no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. The preaching this evening hour is about the daughters of Zelophehad. And 3 points ask for our attention. In the first place, an excluded possession. In the second place, a desired possession. And in the third place, a received possession. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were requiring a possession in the promised land. And in the first place, we think of an excluded possession. In the second place, a desired possession. And in the third place, a received possession. Congregation, the story of the daughters of Zelophehad brings us back to the people of Israel at the end of those 40 years of wandering through the desert. Even a part of the promised land has now already been conquered. Transjordan, the east side of the land, is already in the hands of the tribes of Israel. And the other tribes are now ready to to cross Jordan. But before that transition to the other side of the River Jordan will take place, the Lord came with a command. The Lord commanded Moses to count all the male members of the people of Israel. And that's very remarkable, because at the beginning of the book Numbers, they were already counted. The book of Numbers starts with that counting of the male members of the tribes of Israel. But now, before they enter into the promised land, the Lord commands it to Moses again. He has to count them all. All men from 20 years old and upward. The Lord is making a new beginning. It shows us that God is faithful. God is remembering His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And although the people of Israel are unworthy in themselves, God will fulfill the promise, and God will bring them into the promised land. In verse 53 of the previous chapter, we can read, "Unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names." And congregation, there's another remarkable thing here. God made a promise, and not only the promise, God commanded Moses to make the division of the land amongst the numbered members, the males of the tribes. And the land still had to be conquered. Canaan had to be conquered yet. And now already God commanded Moses to make the division. God commanded in such a way that if they were already in possession of the promised land. And thus, it is with that heavenly Canaan. Oh, this is so full of comfort and instruction for those who fear the Lord. Oh, yet we are in this world. But heaven is our possession already. It's not only a promised land, but it is a given land. The Lord speaks to Moses as if the land was already there. Their position. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Savior, heaven is guaranteed. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Though still upon earth, in reach of the enemy, although God's church here in this world has to fight that great battle, but their King is already in heaven. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I give unto thee eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, what a joy amongst the people of Israel when Moses wrote their names on the roll as heirs of Canaan. They would become their inheritance. They would be the possessors of the promised land. What a joy amongst the tribes of Israel. What a gladness. What a rejoicing in the Lord must there have been. But not everybody amongst the people of Israel was so glad and joyful. Because we read at the beginning of our chapter, then came the daughters of Zelophehad. They came to Moses. And they made Moses a petition. Who were those daughters of Zelophehad? We read that they were of the tribe of Manasseh, one of the blessed tribes of Israel. They even belonged to the fourth generation of Manasseh, son of Joseph, so richly blessed by Jacob. And for these daughters of Zelophehad, from this tribe of Manasseh, there was no inheritance in Canaan. And why not? Because their father had died in the desert. And we understand that he only had five daughters and he didn't have a son. And the promised land was divided amongst the males of 20 years and upward. And these daughters of Zelophehad, they understood that they had no share in the division of the promised land. Their family would have no possession in Israel. And that really touched the heart of these daughters of Zelophehad and made them sad. Not only because the lack of a position, but they understood Canaan was the promised land, was the promise of God's covenant. And having a possession in the promised land, that was a token of God's favor. It was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To thy seed shall I give this land. And if these five daughters of Zelophehad will not have a possession in Israel, then it is as if they do not belong to that blessed people of Israel. Then it seems as if they have no share amongst the children of Israel. It was more than 40 years ago that their father Zelophehad, with many others, left the land of Egypt, the land of bondage. And his five daughters traveled with their father many, many years. And they believed in God's promise that God would bring them in that promised land, that land of Canaan, a land of milk and honey. And they had lived in tents all those years, wandering in the desert. And now they have come to the point that the tribes of Israel will enter into the promised land. And they are excluded. For them there is no inheritance, no position in the land of Canaan. And the question that we have to face is who did exclude them from a possession in the promised land? It was God. God's rule. God's decision. The law of God, the command of God, was saying the land must be divided amongst the male members of Israel. And therefore, congregation, boys and girls, it seemed as if God did not want to give a possession to that family of Zelophehad. They would not inherit a part of the promised land. Oh, try to think about it. Let me give you an example. There's a family sitting at a notary. The testament of their deceased father will be opened. What a moment. And of the five children, when the testament is opened, then they learn of the five children, one is excluded. No portion for him. What a painful experience must that be. And that will serve as an example to give us an impression of what these daughters of Zelophehad had to experience. All the others were going to inherit, and they were excluded. But we do not only have to think about the experience of these daughters, but here we also have to think about the experience of all God's people. They know what it is to experience, to be an outsider, to have no share in that blessed portion of the children of God. All the other tribes, all the other families, they were rejoicing. They were glad in the Lord. They saw their names written on the rolls of Moses. They would surely become inheritors of the promised land. But these five daughters, they were excluded. No inheritance. No possession for them. And it wasn't Moses who was actually excluding them. No, it was God himself. God's law excluded them. God's command was saying, number all the male members. What an experience for those five daughters. They were excluded from that blessed portion. But that is an experience not unfamiliar to the people of God. All those who learn by grace to fear the Lord, taught by the Holy Spirit, they experience what it is to be separated from God, to be separated from that blessed portion, to have no share in the blessings of God's people. Do you know about that experience, about that great gap between God and us, that breach between God and us? Oh, that causes soul distress. That makes the sinner to feel his misery. That gap in his life, in his heart, before God. Oh, by nature, we don't realize what it means to have no share, to have no portion in God, His promises. We have no impression what it means to be without God and to be without Christ and to be without hope. Our plans, our affections, our thinking They concentrate on self, on earthly things. No want, no need for God and for Christ, and for the things of eternity. But when God performs a work of grace in our lives, congregation, then things will change. We begin to see, and not only see, but also feel, experience that separation between God and myself. To be outside of God, to have no communion with God, that lost condition. Oh, that causes such a need and such a sorrow. To be far from God, to be excluded from those eternal blessings. And that because of our sins and iniquities. In such a way we begin to see that I'm an outsider. That I do not have a part in eternal life. That we were driven away from God in paradise. And so we learn from that experience, from those daughters of Zelophehad. They felt that emptiness, that they were excluded. And that's also what God's people begin to understand. And God opens our eyes. And then we begin to see that reality. That we do not belong to that blessed people of God. That we have no God for our soul. No Savior for our heart. No hope in this world. And that the blame is on me. That separation is there because of my sins and my iniquities. That I have done evil in God's sight. And I have to acknowledge that I do not deserve a blessing. That I have no right to have a share in that blessing of eternal life. And that was the concern in the hearts of those daughters of Zelophehad. They felt themselves excluded. And it was God Himself. It was God's holy law, God's command that excluded them. It wasn't a human rule. It wasn't just a feeling. It wasn't just a human decision. But it was a holy matter. It was a matter of God. It was a matter for time and for eternity. There was a separation. Or maybe we will struggle with that as well, going into this week of preparation upon the Holy Supper. Separation. And do I have a part, a share, that grace of God? And that separation that they experienced, from there came that desire. Because that's the second thought that we want to enter into. They desired a possession. Because our chapter says that they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. And he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he has no son? Give us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. They desired a possession. No, they were not claiming personal rights. Oh, there was boldness. But it was the boldness of faith. They brought their case to Moses and to these 70 elders and to other representatives of the people of Israel. It happened in an official gathering. And in such official gatherings, the problems were discussed and the Lord was consulted by Moses. They were asking the Lord for direction. And now this case of those daughters of Zelophehad is brought to Moses in this official gathering. And we know that Moses had a very important place among the people of Israel. Through Moses, God's law, God's commands were given unto Israel. Moses, he was the mediator of the Old Testament. He made intercession between God and Israel. And again we read that Moses stood between God and the people of Israel. And especially after that sin with that golden calf, how Moses pleaded for the people of Israel. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. To this Moses they came. They brought their case to this Moses, this mediator. Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, mediator of a better covenant, the New Testament. Our confession spoke about that precious high priest, that one and only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for his sheep. The Lord Jesus, who makes continually intercession for his people at the right hand of the Father. Five daughters, they went with their desire as an excluded people, desiring a possession. They went with their need to Moses. They came to him with their sorrow, with their struggle, with all the questions that they had, and especially they came with their desire. And they put their request into Moses' hands. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Why did they come to Moses with their request? The law had stated so clearly. It was God's command, we saw, that only the males would become heirs of Canaan. And that rule of God, that could not be changed. Oh, they must have thought about all these things. And even though they came to Moses, excluded by God's rule, by God's unchangeable law. And even though they came to Moses. Why did they come to Moses? Oh, they had seen something in Moses. They had expectation of Moses. They knew, they recognized that Moses, he was the mediator. That he was the only one able to make intercession for them. Their hope and expectation was from Moses. That he was able to help and deliver. That he was the one who could bring their case before the Lord. That he was the mediator who in their stead could approach God. That's why they came to Moses. And coming unto Moses, they shared with him the whole situation. They told him everything that they had in their hearts. How terrible it was to them not to inherit even a piece of land in Canaan. And they begged for a possession, although they had no right according to the rule of God. And like these daughters of Zelophehad congregation, like these five daughters came to Moses, there is a people that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that one and only mediator of the New Testament. A people that understand what it means to be excluded from that blessed portion by God's holy law. Their hearts are wounded and broken. They are convinced of their sins and their miseries. And they bow under that burden, being excluded, being an outsider. And in their soul distress, in all their need, God gives them that expectation. That one and only expectation. In the mediator, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able, that he is willing, that he is capable to redeem. That Christ Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and that there is no other way of salvation. That there is no life, no hope outside of Christ. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand these issues of your heart? That expectation, that looking for the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit teaches us, congregation. Then it becomes our question, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we cast ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou son of David, wilt thou be merciful unto me? Do you know what it is to bring your need, to bring your case unto him? Like these daughters brought their case unto Moses. And what did Moses do? When those daughters came to him, and they shared their concerns and their need and their sorrow with him. What did Moses do? Verse 5, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. Moses didn't knock them down. Moses didn't react according to the law. I have to refuse. He didn't say, O daughters of Zelophehad, this is impossible. There is no way. No, he brought their need, their situation, their cause before the Lord. Moses went into the tabernacle. He went into the Holy of Holies. And he laid the matter of the daughters of Zelophehad before the mercy seat. Oh, what a comfort for those daughters of Zelophehad, that Moses was willing to accept their cause. That Moses was taking their cause upon himself. And that he was entering before the Lord, making petition for them. That Moses did not rebuke them. That Moses didn't send them away. And again, Moses is here such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, who from eternity, in that eternal covenant of peace, engaged himself to be that one and only high priest, to be that one and only mediator, to approach God for his people, declaring to be willing to make their cause his cause, and to give his life for them, to pour out his soul for them as an offering for their sins. Oh, this precious Savior, he will never rebuke a sinner that comes unto him and calls upon his holy name. Moses was willing. Even so, and much more, the Lord Jesus is willing to make your cause his cause. Oh, call upon him in your soul distress, crying, praying, O Lord, thou Son of David, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Moses was willing to undertake their cause and to bring their cause before the Lord. And of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to say this evening, our congregation, more, so much more than Moses is here. He is willing to receive the poor and the needy, the guilty and the vile. And he proves it that he is willing. Came from his own lips. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a wonder. What a Savior. To have an eye upon him in the gospel, in the word of God, and to hear the voice of that precious Savior, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That he will not rebuke, that he will not put to shame, but that he will deal with us in tender mercy. That he is willing to deliver, to wash sins and iniquities away, in his precious blood, to save from the curse of the law and the wrath to come, and to bring back that lost inheritance. That inheritance that was lost in our deep fall in Adam, that he is willing to restore unto God and unto God's favor, and to make heirs of the covenant and of eternal life. They brought their cause unto Moses, and Moses was listening to them. Maybe he was even speaking to them, comforting them, and he made their cause his cause. Oh, do you know what it is? To come to him who is more than Moses. Do you know what it is? To have your expectation from that one and only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring your cause at his feet. Oh, such a wondrous experience when he is willing to take over our cause. That he will accept our cause. And that he will care for our need. That he knows the desire of your heart. Oh, that gives such an expectation in the soul. That brings such comfort to the heart. Just like those five daughters. How comforting for them. When they saw that Moses was able and willing. And that he was entering in their place, in their stead. And so it comforts the soul when the Lord Jesus shows us how he is willing and able to save to the uttermost. To see the Lord Jesus entering in. Into that holy of holies. And to come before the Lord. And how he undertakes in his willingness our need and our cause. That gives such a comfort, such a strong expectation in the heart. But we have to remember how true all these things are. The decision wasn't there yet. Moses made their cause his cause. He brought it before the Lord. That was comforting. That worked out an expectation. But the decision wasn't made yet. The decision had still to come. And that's what we will see in the last place. But let us now first sing from Psalter 18, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Arise, O Lord, lift up thy hand. O God, protect the poor and meek. Why should the proud thy justice doubt and words of bold defiance speak? Psalter 18, the verses 6 through 9. Thank you. Daughters of Zelophehad, an excluded possession, a desired possession, and then also a received possession. Moses went into the tabernacle. He went behind the veil. And the daughters, they had to wait. There was nothing else to do. Nothing else they could do than only wait. Is it easy to wait? What a lesson is waiting, especially waiting upon the Lord. Oh, the daughters of Zelophehad, they had hope when they saw Moses entering into the tabernacle. Their cause in his hands. And Moses appearing before the Lord. That was promising, wasn't it? But now they have to wait. What would be God's answer? Difficult moments, maybe. Because when those daughters, when they called into mind about God's holy law, about God's command, then they had to conclude, we will be excluded by God. That will be just, that will be right. If God sticks to the judgment of the law, then we deserve no portion in the promised land. But when they thought about Moses, when they thought about that mediator of the Old Testament, how he accepted their case and how he entered in the Holy of Holies and appeared before God and now was bowing down before God at God's mercy seat and pleading for them, they had hope. Do you recognize that by yourself? Fear and hope. Oh God, that's a saying of the Puritans as well. God leads his people on a mixture of fear and hope. What will be God's answer? If you look upon yourself, if you look upon God's holy command, if you look upon the righteousness and the holiness of God, then you have to fear, to tremble, and a fearing heart will be tossed around. But when you look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the promises of the gospel, how he is able and willing, then the sinner that has to confess, looking upon himself, it's lost, it's beyond hope. Looking unto that Jesus, that precious and willing Savior, and how he made our cause his cause, entering before the throne, making sacrifice, then hope and expectation will arise in the heart. And isn't this the way in which God comforts those missing, outstanding people standing outside of that blessed portion? That God comforts them, showing them the love and the willingness of the Savior, the power of his blood, that he is faithful, that he makes the need and the cause of a lost people, his cause. That he is now at the right hand of the Father. That he's pleading for a guilty people then hope arises in the heart, doesn't it? Hope to become an inheritor of that promised land, that blessed portion. And thus the daughters of Zelophehad, they waited and they waited. And then we read in verse 6 and 7, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them." Everything seemed to be against those five daughters, even God's law. Everything excluded them. And nevertheless, all of this, they did receive a possession in the promised land. But how is that possible? There's only one answer. Although everything was against them, Moses was in favor of them. He made their cause his cause. And he approached God with the need of the daughters of Zelophehad. And how much more, congregation, does the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the New Testament, appear before God for all those people in need and sorrow? Everything has to be against the salvation of God's people. Their sins, the corruption of their heart, how they transgressed against God's holy law, how God is holy and righteous. And those things we do experience when the Holy Spirit is leading and teaching us. And we begin to understand and see more and more. Everything has to be against me. Everything has to lead to my ruin. But if Christ is for us, who can be against us? If he makes our case his case, then all impossibilities and all hindrances will be taken away, and nothing will hinder to become an heir of the promised land. It's all because of that mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation for all who are in Christ. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. It's through that intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ that God will be gracious upon a sinner who doesn't deserve anything than to be excluded for time and eternity. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And God will make them heirs of covenant. Make them to inherit those eternal blessings in the forgiveness of their sins and peace with God and eternal life, a prepared place in the promised land, in that Canaan of heaven. And that for such a one that deserved to be excluded had no right to inherit. Oh, such a people, congregation, they will give glory to God, honor to God, Christ alone. Oh, look, once again, one last time, at those daughters of the Zelophehad congregation. They became aware that they were excluded of a possession in the promised land. Oh, they had many privileges. They belonged to that blessed people of Israel, the tribe of Manasseh. They had been led out of Egypt, the house of bondage. They had eaten manna in the wustan, in the desert. They had been drinking from the water flowing from the rock. But they had no possession in the promised land. There is a very touching application there. You can come so close, under the truth, a regular tender, baptized, maybe a little sincere now and then, maybe a tear or an impression now and then. So close. But have you got to know yourself as an outsider, banished from God and from God's favor because of God's law, because of your sins and iniquities? That was the concern of the daughters of Zelophehad. That's in true religion. A concern for God, for Christ, a need for a mediator. Wrestling about eternal things. Is that in our hearts? Do we have a desire for God and for that blessed portion of God's people? Oh, there is a mediator. Moses was there. Now Christ, Jesus, is there, making intercession, and the Father hears him always. And the gospel gives the answer. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, sinners will be made to inherit that blessed land of Emmanuel, that promised land. They had a desire. And their desire was fulfilled. John Calvin says, that's often the way in which God works in the hearts of sinners. Young people, is there such a desire for God, for Christ, for that eternal portion in your heart? What are our desires? Our hearts can manufacture so many desires. Oh, that through the preaching of the Word of God, that one and only desire for God and for Christ and for eternal blessings will become your desire. Because the portions of the world will be taken away. Oh, will you seek the Lord? He's calling. He's waiting. He's willing and able. What are you going for? For an earthly inheritance or for an heavenly inheritance? I once read about a Christian. His profession was a baker. And when people were asking him, what are you doing? What is your life? Then he always answered, I'm traveling to heaven. And on my way, I am baking bread. How is our life? What is our expectation? What is our inheritance? What are we living for? What are we looking for, congregation? They came to Moses. And they begged and they pleaded. And the Lord was merciful unto them. And they received the promise. And they became heirs of the covenant. And they received that portion that can never be taken away. Amen. Let's now pray and thank the Lord. O Lord, wilt thou bless thy holy word, apply it to our hearts. Wilt thou arise that desire in the hearts of our children, of our elderly people, for that promised land. Oh, what it must be to be excluded, to have no part in that eternal life. We have come so close. Thou hast brought so many blessings close to our hearts. Oh, we pray, Lord, that no one of us will stay behind, and that the preaching of this evening hour will be blessed. Wilt thou be with us in this week of preparation? Wilt thou instruct us by thy holy word? Also, as Lord willing, Tuesday evening, we want to have another preparation sermon. It waits upon thee, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.